The Last Word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
Catherine Murphy, co-leader of the Social Democrats. We heard a little bit on our 5 of 5 news headlines of you pressing Taoiseach Micheál Martin today on this extraordinary development in relation to the HSE contact tracing system, effectively been overrun at the weekend to the extent that thousands of people are now been asked with their COVID-19 diagnosis to get in touch with people and tell them that they may too need a test. What do you make of it all?
It's, to be honest with you, it's just infuriating because this is one of our main lines of dealing with this. It's testing, it's contact tracing, and then for people to isolate. And essentially we've got more than 2,000 people, possibly 2,500 people, who were tested positive at the weekend and really being given, you know, being told DIY in terms of making contact with people. The Taoiseach told us that he just got a text of the Irish Times article last night, and that's how we found out, and apparently that's how the Minister for Health found out. And we were let, you know, I mean, essentially the Minister for Health is saying now this is an operational issue. It's not. It's a pretty fundamental issue in the middle of a pandemic. About, you might remember, Matt, about 2 weeks ago, a senior public health person who is obviously in charge of the contact tracing came out onto the public airwaves and said that they were in serious trouble, and that the public health system was as close, or this system of contact tracing was as close to collapse as it had been from the beginning.
And whose responsibility is that? Because, Catherine, I know there will be people who say, throw more money at the situation, but actually the government has thrown billions of extra euro at the health system this year. Is this not an issue in relation to the competence of the HSE, that with all the extra money they've been given, that they didn't actually put the required system in place to be able to deal with a surge?
Yeah, I mean, essentially what happened was when we locked down in March, there were people brought in from right across the public service. There was physiotherapists and speech and language therapists and soldiers, all brought in to contact tracing. And most of those have gone back to their own jobs. And then there was, in July, we were told there was going to be recruitment to replace them. Essentially, that recruitment has taken an age, and essentially that has been outsourced. Now, I'm hearing that I certainly have been told that there are problems with that recruitment anyway. And we need
Why?
To,
what sort of problems?
It's been outsourced, and I've been told there's been things raised.
Sorry, to who? Who is the HSE asked to do this work?
They've asked a company called CPI to do this work, and they're obviously operating to the rules that have been set by the HSE. But the length of time that it's taking to get this system in place has meant that the system has been overrun. And 2 weeks ago we were told it was close to collapse. That was within a day of NPHET having that special meeting saying that we should be moving from level 2 to level 5. They were so concerned with the numbers at that stage. So, look, this is a pretty fundamental issue. If you can't get your testing and your tracing system in place, which is key, as well as people taking, you know, personal responsibility, they're key aspects of making sure that when we get out of this lockdown, that we don't, you know, go into some sort of a reduced kind of level 3 and then back up to level 4 or level 5 again. We have to be able to manage this, and this is one of the components in managing this that must be done right.
Okay. You know, as it happens, Catherine, we looked for the HSE to join us on the programme. Nobody available from the HSE, and a very lengthy statement given to us, which I'm going to try and summarise now because it was far too long to read on air. But basically the HSE saying it's asking a limited number of people to alert their own close contacts of their positive result, that so-called limited number being up to 2,500 people. And they're saying this step has been taken to ensure that each person receives information as quickly as possible. It applies to people who received notification by text of a positive COVID result on Friday, Saturday or Sunday. The HSE says it's making calls as usual to people who tested positive from Monday onwards. This is Wednesday. In the month of October to date, it said the HSE has issued COVID results to over 280,000 people. Of course, not all of those, far from it, are being positive. It says the HSE has increased contact tracing staffing, with over 400 now working in our national contact tracing centres, and says it's currently recruiting additional contact tracers, plans to recruit up to an initial 800 tracers, and then review the requirement for further recruitment, which raises the question, why only now? Kingston Mills, Professor of Experimental Immunology at Trinity College Dublin, can you just please explain to us why the whole system of testing and tracing quickly is so important?
Well, I mean, it's all about reducing the contacts between people and stopping transmission of the virus. So if people are infected and they come in contact with someone else, they're going to pass on the virus. The problem is that about 50% of people who get infected have no symptoms. So they're the ones that are tricky ones to catch, because they think because they have no symptoms, they're not at risk to passing it on to someone else, but they can be. So it turns out that a significant number of people who are called for tests actually don't turn up for tests, around 25%. And a lot of these are asymptomatic, so think they don't need to go for the test. So there's a PR job that needs to be done there in trying to persuade people that when they're asked to go for a test, they actually go for a test. Because if these people still continue to circulate in the community, it'll transmit to others. We heard the case of widely reported, of the one individual coming back from holidays and ending up with infecting either directly or indirectly 50 other people. And then one of those actually going to a party while they were positive and passing on the virus to others. So, you know, clearly there's two elements to this. One is the contact tracing and testing element by the HSE, which is just not effective. And secondly, the government, or the public buy-in in most cases is good, but a small proportion are not buying into it.
Yeah, because Kingston, I think Mike Ryan of the World Health Organization has said that you need to do this as quickly as possible, not look to be perfect, but look to be quick. Because my understanding, and maybe you can just clarify this for me, Kingston, is that if somebody is a positive case, and hopefully they find out as quickly as possible that they're a positive case, then the imperative is to tell everybody that that person has been in contact with, that that person is positive, and that they need to be checked out. And then that they get checked out as quickly as possible so that they're socially isolating and not spreading the virus. Is that the importance of speed?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, so once somebody is known to be positive, all their contacts have to isolate immediately. If they don't, well, then they risk the possibility of spreading it to somebody else. So once they're tested, then they'll know whether they're positive or negative, but they can't wait until they're tested to isolate, or it's too late. The trouble with this particular infection is that transmission can occur in what's called the pre-symptomatic phase, or in the asymptomatic individuals. So pre-symptomatic, before you show symptoms, you can already transmit the virus. And that's the big risk with this virus. Some viruses don't transmit in the pre-symptomatic phase, and this one does. So those are the real risky individuals that are pre-symptomatic and that have no symptoms at all, because people don't know they're infected unless they're tested.
Kingston, and this is an interesting figure today.
Sorry,
there was an interesting figure today that suggests that the majority of cases now are in private family households.
Yes.
So if you had a situation, for example, whereby somebody in your household tests positive and comes home, even if they're asymptomatic, and everybody in the house is saying, well, I feel fine, there's nothing wrong with me, should they still actually start self-isolating, work on the assumption that they are positive until they get a test which says that they're negative?
Absolutely. I mean, if a family member comes home positive and they come, and it's virtually impossible in the house to isolate from another family member, so it has to be assumed that every member of that household is then infected until they're told otherwise. So that is part of the problem, that people who are not isolating when they're coming in contact, and it's not just in the home, it can happen outside of the home as well. So you know, contacts of positive cases have to isolate, have to get tested.
Kingston, a listener here says the bottom line is that the numbers are exploding because too many selfish people are not isolating when they're waiting on test results, are not isolating when they know they are close contacts, and are not in some cases showing up for testing. Let's start focusing the outrage on these behaviours that are now crippling our country and our citizens. What do you think of that?
Well, that's a bit harsh, but at the same time, there's an element of truth in it. So one of the ways of circumventing this issue is to make it mandatory to turn up for a test when you're called for a test. I mean, if you go back to the period of the mask wearing, when we introduced it initially, there was very poor compliance with it. Now, if you go into a supermarket, 99% of people are wearing masks simply because it's mandatory. People have bought into it. They recognize it's an important public health measure. And the same way, we need to get the public to buy into the concept that testing is an exceedingly important public aspect of this. But also government need to get their act together in terms of the logistics of the organization and the staffing of the contact tracers, but also the assays that are being done. And for example, other countries are now looking at rapid testing approaches. I'm not talking about these strip tests. I'm talking about alternative rapid testing approaches, such as this LAMP assay, which can be done and has already been implemented in other countries. They're doing it at Heathrow Airport. It can be turned around in half an hour. They can use saliva samples for it. It's not going to be the diagnostic like the PCR assay, but it's a very effective screening approach which can pick up significant numbers of cases and will then, you know, mean that lots more people can be tested very quickly.
Kingston, you said something fascinating there about making it mandatory for people to turn up for tests if they have been a close contact. Because isn't it remarkable that we have a system going into place where we're going to fine people for travelling more than 5 kilometres away from their house, and yet we don't have a system making it mandatory or to put fines in place for people not showing up for essential tests?
I think there's a complete dichotomy in that. I mean, I don't get the 5 kilometre thing. And maybe it is just stopping people moving generally, but whether you go 2 or 20 kilometres from your home, in my view, is not going to make a huge amount of difference. I certainly think not turning up for a test is going to be a hell of a lot more of a difference than travelling 5 kilometres from your home. So I think, you know, we need to have consistent messages here in terms of what the public needs to be doing. The public will then buy into those measures if they're explained very clearly. And I think those examples of the cases of individuals that infected indirectly or directly 50 plus others are fantastic examples of what can happen. And people have to be collectively buy into it. And if they do, then we can beat it.
OK, Kingston Mills, Professor of Immunology at Trinity College Dublin, thank you. Catherine Murphy, just to finish with you from the Social Democrats, I want to give you an example that's been sent in from a listener in Wicklow who says, I tested positive on Monday, still no contact from the HSE. My son tested positive on Saturday, still no contact. It was up to us to contact his school and close contacts over the weekend. Even the school could not get in touch with the HSE. And that goes back to what we were hearing from the INTO yesterday from John Boyle. This listener says, inept and unacceptable from a clearly dysfunctional arm of government. So is this a question, rather than blaming the politicians who have oversight, the ministers and the government, this is down to the management and performance of the HSE?
The thing about it is that the state has, just as the public have to do their piece, the state has to do its piece, and every arm of the state has to be involved in that. You know, essentially, if you're going to build public goodwill and get any kind of public confidence, people have to be sure that the systems that are being put in place work. And this has patently been shown that there is a significant problem here in terms of how this system was set up. And for the Taoiseach to find out in the way that he found out, I think demonstrates that, if nothing else does, that there should be briefed continuously if there's a problem, and I find it just extraordinary that this should emerge as this kind of a crisis, without any forewarning, other than the public health people having to take the airwaves. But yes, okay. Public buy-in is going to be really important, but public buy-in is reinforced by virtue of the fact that the arms of the state are actually doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Thank you very much, Catherine Murphy of the Social Democrats, for joining us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.